Right, he's got it. He's got that. And then don't consider 16 and 20 as two separate classes. If the horse's APV is close to being equal to today's purse, Jim Quinn has reshaped some of his thinking on class. And he said last time he addressed us that class should be looked at in clusters, claiming class. And the cluster is with $4,000 to $6,000. You should with the clusters. So take 10 and 12 and make them one cluster. Then take 16 and 22 and make them one cluster. And then 22 up to 30, make them one cluster. 30 on up, another cluster. And then when you get to 50, everything's the same, but it's over 50. That's the last cluster, 50 to 100, same cluster. And use APV. If a horse has got a 123% of purse and he's going up two levels in class, he's not. He's going down.
Doc, where do you start? Eliminating the horse on APV.
Oh, very easy. You keep records for your tracks. It's never the same for any track. I can tell you that our track's 68. But if you're in that same race where this horse is 68, you have a 154 and a 126, then check to see what it is. If they're all under, then you say, well, hey, 68% will win it. He's got an outstanding pace. But always remember, when using APV or any class, that truly outstanding pace supersedes everything. But that's why playing two horses is so valid. You can play this one, and you can play this one if you have the pace reason. Cutlass Reality should give us all warning that pace, speed, truly wrought, will dominate no matter what the alleged class does. Yeah, but this horse had been in great
range.
He came alive. He had a horrible record before that. Well, something happened to him. They gave him a stallmate he liked better, a trainer, bet him something different. He just suddenly came alive and he won four in a row. He only got beat a little bit in that last one. But generally speaking, you'll find that any horse below 68 on the West Coast now is about 54%. The Remington Park, because they sell them at that are even 100%. When you have a stand-up, this stand-up has less chance of winning off a bad baseline as the fast horse off the dirt. Yet that's why two horses will save you every time. Keeps that decision-making process open. If you like a jockey or something, and then you can't get over liking it, then you bet the best horse and the best jockey. And the best horse will win every time, except once. General Martin said, I never saw a jockey cross the finish line before the horse. 2 days later, he went to track, a horse bolted just before the finish line. A jockey went over his head, crossed the finish line first. Well, I said, Darrell, there goes another old hossy saying. Find your own parameters, in other words. In other words, when you go to Santa Anita, forget it at Pomona. Pomona's got so many.
Sure. If you've got a race where your time is about 100, then you can start.
Then you say that it's almost like any other standard deviation. This would be about 68.
Yeah.
If you had a whole bunch of some races, all of them are over the purse. They're all going into some kind of a stakes race where they've never seen such an opportunity before. And they're all way under, or they're going into a cheaper race where they're all way over. When they're all way over, don't pay too much attention to it. The reason for that is because these are horses that have been trying and trying, and finally they've got a conditions of a race which could be subtitled horses with old class who haven't done anything lately. Of course, those will get you the higher needs if you find something. Generally speaking, you can draw a parameter within a week. You've got to always watch out for these horses. And the guy who says, oh, I don't care what his name is, his horse or dog, he's got to get surprised all the time. Okay, now, so here's the problem we face. The guy doesn't do his APV. Everybody, you know, they read Queer and he said APV is worth it. He doesn't do Tuesday piece, but for the last line, he's got a... That's $16,000. That's a $20,000 raise. So this classical handicapper, he finds down here four lines back. He's got, horse does badly, he runs about 20. So here's facing him. That's what the horse just did. The guy's a classical handicapper. I mean, he's still thinking that way. He uses our method, but he wants to combine it with what he thinks he knows. He says, well, yeah, he's going up in class, so I can't take him off of that line. I'll go back to this one. And he sends me the race and says, why did I lose him? When all I have to do is do his last line, he won the race. So B, use some sense in your life. This, these figures over here are becoming less and less and less important. You track, yes sir.
If you did that thing like we do in the matchup, add up those times, you're going to find out that the last one is going to give him about 103 or 104 in his first call, and about 101, 102 in his second call. You're history, you're flying, you know you got a $20,000 horse. Just told you that. Just adding up those his 6 furlong runs. It's right there.
Right.
No computer needed.
Right. You don't have the problem. That's why you're doing 80%. You don't have the problem a lot of these people have. What they're forgetting is to read the manuals.
Yeah, it's in the manuals.
They're forgetting to read the manuals. They are saying, I'm going to take these, boy, this is great. I got a computer for it. I got a certain methodology. Well, I don't want to read that. Well, we're going to say to turn it on. Then they say, well, I know. $20,000 horse, $20,000 horse. Baloney. This is getting less and less important with year-round racing and with the various tracks and things that are going on. This is becoming eminently more important, except when the APV is substantially higher, then APV and pace have equal value. Just remember that your toughest reality type races are happening more and more across the country. Horses come alive and they win because they have superior pace people. And the earnings earns you the place for us. Any questions on that as related to pace? Yes, sir. I'm sure you know the answer already, but go ahead.
How about as related to the last one?
Okay, I'll give you a definition. APV tells you at what level the horse ran well. The class rating tells you how well the horse ran at the level it ran well. Therefore, if the horse is a 63% APV and has a 248 class rating, that means that he earned at that percentage of APV, he is a class horse. But if he's well below today's thing, what you have to say to yourself is that's where he runs well. He's not run well above that. So you take, got that horse, put him in, he's your pace horse. You take the hot top APV horse, comes out your third choice, you've got to put him in any exacter or Quinella, because he will most often place, but once in a while jump up and bite you and win the race. So you've got to consider both elements. Generally speaking, I use APV only because, like most people, it confuses people seem to have. I don't mind analyzing him for somebody else, but when I go to the track, I go to win money, not to be a professorial genius. I like to take keep it simple, stupid numbers, and just go make the bet and get the winner. Maybe put him in a pocket and go home.
Yes, sir. Excuse me. Could you just repeat that? APV is equal to the pace or the race win what? Not the pace of race, but the pace of the
what? APV tells you at what level the horse did well.
What is it equal to pace, is what I'm saying? You said just a minute ago, generally pace is more important than APV, except in the case when APV is what, very, very high?
Yeah. When it exceeds the first by whatever percentage you found it's effective. I found 24%. Anything over 24% over the first one, none of the others are, or there's only one other standout. Those two standouts have a tendency to run 1-2, even their pace is less than some horses, 54%. But you have to weigh those three horses. That's why I love Vegas. Because I play three horses in a Quinella box.
Is there 6 bucks? Is that what you're saying?
Now, I know other people who can't get the place horse to save their themselves, regardless. Because they always consider the place horse the second most likely to win. That's not true, 26% of the time. Place horse has its own characteristics. People who start studying the characteristics of the place horse will get 55% exactness of Quinellas. If they do it, I don't know. We're a win-oriented nation. And the worst seller we've ever had is the 55% solution, key to exaction loss. Nobody wants to buy it. I mean, relative to the other menu. And it tells you. And everybody who's used the cross procedures in there to get the place horse has found the place horse and is getting 55%. And the two most prominent factors of the place horse is the contra energy horse and the high APV pace line. You can't find a pace line that would make the winner have high APV, or a very low APV who has an outstanding pace line. Those are the three biggest characteristics. And there are a lot of other subtle characteristics. Horses that almost always run in the money but seldom win. And then when you're looking at certain training patterns, some trainers tell that their betting stages, they tell or jockey, they have a tacit agreement, is if you can't win this race, let up and come in badly. Don't come in second or third, don't. We want this horse, when it does win, to win it big money. So they say, if you're not gonna win the race, and you know you can't win it, don't try. Now, if you can isolate those kinds of patterns, you've got another very good situation. Not to bet that horse the place. He's a win-only type. Problem is isolating that. It's a wonderful theory. And one way to isolate it is to look at a horse's earnings block and see wins, no places, no shows. You get 3 wins, 0 places, 0 shows in the last 9 races. That, according to the man who wrote that article for us, and those trainers and stuff, that's a pretty good indication. I can see a horse with 1 win, 4 places, and 3 shows. A big boost for you to put him in your betting in the money. Horses with seconditis, they got a horse down, seconditis down. He finds a way to not to win every race. And yet he's always the favorite. He always comes in second. Yes, sir.
I'm saying, APB tells you one level more training, while the class figure tells you the pace.
Now it tells you, the class figure tells you how the horse ran, the level he ran well. In other words, he got a 200 class rating, 2.0 class rating, and a 82% APB. That means that 20% below today's level, he ran well. So you've got to say, hey, you don't expect him to run at this level of today's.
Is the reverse of that true also?
Oh, yeah.
You've got a low APV on.
Yeah, a low APV and a high class rank is usually attributable to horses coming from minor tracks, or lesser tracks than when you're playing, or young horses who only had 1 or 2 races, and they've done real well in those, but the purses weren't sufficient for them to get an APV. That's very true. APV is not as effective on young horses as it is on horses with established records. And class rating is superior on young horses. They're moving up. And who can move up? You know the areas where horses can move up. Then you use these figures better. I recommend Quinn's book called, what is it called? No, the
Handicapping Condition book.
Fast the field, even Jim's. He wishes to mention that. I thought it was great. It had 4 pages about us in it. But he doesn't like it. He found out that he was on the wrong track.
still accept the royalties.
Yeah.
But the handicap condition books, the latest edition was very, very good. And it tells you where earnings are less important, and where horses on the rise will beat horses that are established. It tells you that 49er was going to beat Alice Eagle last year. Well, the theory was right, but the patient died. The three-year-old did not beat the four-year-old. They were close. The best bet in that race was the show horse, Big Fido, which I naturally had. But he was an obvious show horse. He had such a pace advantage over both Alashiba and the others for three-quarters of the race that all he was going to be so far out in front that if he didn't fall down, he was the only one around to finish third. Brian's time has the best breeding in the world and the most disappointing record. Flipgro Crypto Clearance just wasn't its day to close until I'm in third, which it usually does. Is the Super Derby being run today?
Yeah.
I thought it was a Sunday race.
Really?
Yeah. You get some. That's from Louisiana down.
3 o'clock.
Yes, we can't get it. Sorry. We barely get NBC. Okay. This is especially viable to me. It's especially valuable to those who put in their own horses or win less than 65% because of improper baseline selection or improper entries. We have a race, I don't think it's here or not, it's in the third division. Okay, it isn't here. Turn to base 22. I did this race for people, and I did not put Ranarabi. And people say, yeah, sure, you got the winner in the place horse, but if you put Ranarabi in there, you wouldn't have got a profit. So I put Ranarabi in there for him. Turn to page 24. Dick's going to explain this to you. See where Ranarabi's acceleration pattern is? Follow the solid black line. See where he goes? He goes straight down to the base of the 45 pace, straight down and then backwards to 113. That horse is so far behind at that point of the race that Ranarabi, can you all see it? The dots in the loop. Page 24. Follow the Ranarabi happens to be the dark dots, solid dark dots. He goes straight down from 45, goes backwards over to 113. He's the only horse that's decelerating so much that he's not on the positive end of the chart. And then he piddles along. Based on what you see there, did everybody see what I'm seeing? Mm-hmm. I get some strange looks on your faces.
I've never seen a deceleration graph before.
You're going to see a lot of them. If you want to be a winner, you better start filling them out. This will do it for you. This is not a deceleration graph. This is a deceleration graph. This is a deceleration axis.
Whatever. I've never seen one before.
Well, they're in the manuals. This one isn't what this one is.
Not this one.
No, this is. Well, that's why you're here. Because no one's seen it before. They haven't seen it here. And this is it. This is the introduction of this. And you've got a blank one here. You can zero out all you want. But do you see? Is it, answer. Somebody answer me. something more than a vague look. You immediately see the pattern this horse is running. You immediately see the pattern that the solid black line horse, French, is running. French is virtually even with a fast pace, and then he decelerates gradually from the second call to the final fraction.
The deceleration pattern goes toward the center of the axis of the circle, or toward the outside?
Well, the final circle, between the second and the final circle, is the last fraction. Now, the better any horse has in the first 2 seconds of the race, he's going to have to find that third fraction. But look how gradual that is, not that total decline. Start of the race is in the center of the axis, okay. Across where it says 45. There should be a zero, and the chart is a zero there, very pronounced. Dick's going to show you how to do this.
Good.
What I'm trying to say is that the guy, how many of you have you just read the racing form? I'm sorry I turned you this way so fast. How many would you look at runner up, second race back, and say, hey, if you left that horse out, you're crazy? How many would have thought that? Most of you would have. Well, you're wrong. Now, how do you prove you're wrong? Chart. If you leave that horse in, Jay, you deserve to lose. The horse is going backwards. It virtually looks like it's going backwards.
Well, then does he come on? Conversely, when you look at it, then he kind of comes on from the outer rim.
His pattern, look at his line from 113 to
the outer rim of the
to the next outer, the next rim. It's a straight decline. He declines horribly, and then he continues a straight decline. He doesn't come on, you see him, he's just straight. He's straight by a truck, round and round.
French, by the same token, runs relatively
well. Look, guys, use your fingers. Here's French at this point of the race, and here's this horse. Is that much, look that far apart, right? Now look where they are at the end. They're that far apart. Now, did you think that by being, he'd have to be that much ahead to win the race over French? French and he close at about the same level, and they're span of a child's hand up to the third fraction. You can't recover that kind of a loss. That's what the chart's supposed to tell you. Just use it with your fingers. Go like this. Hey, whoop, she's done anything. Anything that makes you win. Now, if your numbers oriented, and this bothers you, don't use this. Just use your numbers. But somebody says, what's the difference between 49.80 and 51.20? I tell them it's 30. Well, what does 30 mean? Huh? I can't explain it. So draw a picture. That's what 30 means. And then you see it. Yes, sir.
But you see, even like using the matchup, you already had good on the slop marked over there. And you see the horse's last race was in declining form. That June 18th race was declining form. And he goes back over there, and you see where his good races are basically on the off track. Why would you go any further with this?
Well, I see that, and you see that.
But that's what the matchup is all about.
I know, but the people who are contesting that says the only reason you got French Comic and Bela Bucks is because you left Renner out of the race.
But he is out of the race.
Now, I know that, you know that, and when you draw this picture, everybody should know that.
The fact of the matter is, the 112 pounds off the 120 tells you a big story, because the track handicapper said he's not in the right class. The racing secretary told you where he belonged.
I wouldn't have any problems. Your level of sophistication, you'd all be better than 75%.
But your book says read the conditions of the race.
I know this. Well, see, you should be up here, and then you can ball on. They won't get mad at me.
I'm agreeing with what you're saying.
Everything you're saying is correct.
Well, why are they disagreeing with you?
You're not disagreeing with
me. No, why are they disagreeing?
Because they're not as smart as you are. Everybody who disagrees with me is not as smart as the guy who agrees with me. So that makes you out of
No, it doesn't. No.
That's the nature of life. The point is, we've got to be able to demonstrate to a wide variety of intellectual perception the facts of the matter. Jay Elliott's not stupid by any means, probably as bright as you are, but Jay Elliott doesn't see certain things you see by his own admission. And you probably in some other area, he's very big with girls. Maybe you don't see the things he sees in girls. Who knows? He makes a hell of a martini. Don't you think?
It looks like Doc is a lot of clues that the horse is not well. He wore out in that race he won. And then came back and ran a very poor race after that. Indicating he's not too good shape.
Right. But this, but what more dramatically demonstrates than this? And he backs, he's backing, going backwards. And he goes, he exerted no energy early, so he goes on a level way.
Well, what would be a third fraction acceleration? How would that be represented on this graph?
Well, look at the horse named Fast. Now, they don't accelerate. Really.
I'm just saying hypothetical.
A hypothetical, a horse that really improved his position in the third fraction was Fast. A horse called Fast. But, look, you've got to take into consideration where Fast was relative to where French was at the second call. Way back. So that, I suppose you could draw measurement lines between them. This is, and look at Malebox, the horse that came in second. It's between him and Fast. Malebox declines and then Malebox happened to play. And if you do it by the numbers, and Dick's going to show you how to do it, you get Malebox second, French first. By following the procedure, it's not on you. Look over in the left hand corner. That's your clue. The code. Oh, still, you take some thunder on this. This will, the reason I pointed out this one race is that when you have that idea, oh boy, you got to put that horse in, he looks good. I mean, if you do have that idea about that horse ran around, or any of these horses, you put them on this chart as described, and you will quickly graphically see another aspect of how to do the matchup. Jimmy frankly says, in a matchup man, you've got a couple of races in there which you would say, hey Jimmy, this is a very bad example because the horse that you're predicting to win this race has just been beaten twice by the other horse. Now Jimmy didn't notice that. He didn't notice that fact. That he was not trying to prove that point. He was trying to prove the point he was making. And Jimmy is didn't pick a race that everybody could clearly see that in one instance. I think there's only two in there that aren't completely obvious to everyone. Jimmy says, I can't explain it. And it's painful for him to try to explain it. It's voodoo. It's something you have to figure out. He did a good job of trying to explain it, I thought. But what we're doing is giving you another tool. Now these are raw figures. You'd be surprised how raw figures, when you're doing this kind of a graph, how effective they are. Bob pointed out this morning, you put over here adjustments. You mentioned adjustments to people, and they got adjusted. How many of you, when you see the program, it says, does this race need adjusting? How many of you automatically, yes? Huh? How many of you resisted the urge? Put in yes. That's now since you're winning. Before you were always saying yes, weren't you?
Yeah.
Okay. People who can appreciate the value of raw, we're going to show you how to adjust fractions later on in a down and dirty way that will shock you and expect. Meanwhile, when you run through these charts, do them raw. So with that, I'll let Dick take you through a bunch of them. I want to tell you a little story though first. Anaconda race. That's on page 14. I was preparing for the August. August edition of this. We held it early in August. And I was getting this ready, and I came over one Sunday morning and bought a racing form. I was sitting in the office and working this particular race from the 8th of Hollywood. And when I saw Anaconda, what Anaconda was, and looked at the Sweet's Morning Line on it, I got in the car and ran over to San Marino to bet the horse. And the exact. Purely from doing these charts for you. If I hadn't done these charts for you in that particular morning, I would not have cleaned up on that particular race. I happened to do was doing an example of this the day that Cutlass Reality ran the first time, when 39 years ago. The second time we got a class here when it won, but it only paid, what, $19? But this, you people got me this winter by just trying to do this job for you. So you see the benefits of trying to do something for other people can really come back and be very valuable to you. You all are aware of the Anaconda race. For some reason, it paid a lot of money. I was a fiber girl. Paid the
88.20.
Huh?
How did you get the horse to come up?
Are you using
the 6.5
paper? Oh, I used two of them. I used the 6 and the 6.5. For Anaconda? They're all here. Whatever. I did all the real contenders in the race.